This is James from survivalpunk.com. Back with another episode. It's been a while. I'm sorry. But if you don't know, if you're not one of my friends on Facebook, then you will not know this. And I was planning on putting out an episode the day that it happened, but I didn't because I was a little busy that day. But for those of you that do not know, I am going to be a daddy. Say hi, Serenity. She says no. We're having a baby. It is 14 weeks. Yes, 14 weeks. So yay. And that's going to be a change. But there will still be podcasts. I will find a way to make it work. So with that out of the way, we're going to try to get the episode doing the planning, the show notes for this episode. I came to the realization that the topic may be too big for a single episode. It may behoove us to break it into two parts, which is dealing with pests during the shit hit the fan. Especially when I got to certain parts of it and realized that it would do that part of it an injustice to just simply like gloss over it, just run through how to deal with it. That part being lice in all of its forms, that is going to take a big chunk of this show. So it will have to be on the next part of this episode. And then the part to go with that is it's the shit hit the fan. Some of these things that are a pest now, deer coming to eat in your garden, squirrels, things that are a pest now may not be a pest in the future. So talking about eating some of these pests will also be moved to part two of this episode. Not everything is edible, but a lot of these things are. So there's that. If you have a question for the show and you want it answered on the air, you may call the call-in number. It is 615-657-9104. Once again, that is 615-657-9104. You'll get your question answered on the air. You'll get to hear yourself. You'll get to hear me talk. It'll be awesome. So give it a call. Shout out to the Survival Punk Army members that are still there. You guys are awesome. So let's go ahead and just jump into the show. That's going to be enough housekeeping for today. Just the announcement and the call-in line. I don't think I have anything else to cover. Anyway, so dealing with pests during the shit hit the fan, a lot of these things will work for the now as well. A lot of the basic principles that you can do now will also work during the shit hit the fan. Although now, some things that have shelf lives, you can get and restock for now. Rat poison. Rat poison has a shelf life, so not really good for long-term storage, whereas like the old school wooden mouse traps, pretty much universal and they're fairly cheap. Good for storage. Good for now too. So what's the main way to deal with pests? Insects, rodents, all of these? Cleanliness. It comes back to that. If they don't have the habitat and the food, then you don't really have a problem with pests. Sometimes they can get in even the cleanest of places, but that's your first line of defense. And I'm not the best with maintaining the dishes. I'm not. Generally, the fan will probably be harder in some ways. So that's your first line. Maintaining a clean home and a clean person. You know, like it, you can get lice as a clean person, through body contact with someone that does have it. It's a little bit harder though. Like a lot of these things, you know, you can be the cleanest person ever, but if you're at the movie theater and the person next to you is a nasty son of a bitch and bed bugs crawl off of them onto you and come home, you know, you're going to have to deal with it. And then apparently they love movie theaters. So, that's, and I'll talk about it later on. Like, well, one time when I was in the apartment, I had bed bugs, and that's because my bedroom wall, the other side of it was the laundromat for the apartment. And there were some nasty motherfuckers and they came through the wall. Like you could see the cracks because it was a shitty apartment. You know, like the floorboards was straight through. So they just climbed through there to my bedroom and it was an ordeal to get rid of them. So cleanliness, first line. Next, modern bug sprays. These pests used to be a much bigger problem in the past. Before a lot of these modern chemicals came about, our ancestors had a much harder time living with these sons of bitches. So, you know, there are parts of my personality that tend towards the hippie, holistic, let's solve this naturally. But no mosquito repellent works as well as one that has DEET in it, hands down. You can get the hippie body sprays and go out on a hike and the mosquitoes will eat you to pieces. You get DEET, and I like 100% DEET. You get 100% DEET, you come back fine. May not be the healthiest thing in the universe, but is being torn up by mosquitoes healthier? I don't think so. You know, in the episode, we're going to talk about some old school remedies. You know, the modern ones are really effective and revolutionized it. But, you know, for hundreds of thousands of years, our ancestors had to deal with these things and they came up with some pretty good things. And we'll talk about diatomaceous earth. That is pretty much universal for insects. I'm going to have to buy some. I don't know why I haven't yet, but it's a good one. A lot of herbs are repellent to certain insects and mice. What was it? I think I heard mice don't like a mint or peppermint or something. There's some kind of herb they don't really care for, which is not in this art, which is not. I didn't look it up. I did come across one that I just want to talk about up front, and that's called pinroyal. It's a fairly effective, it's an herb. You can make an oil out of it. You can make, it has some medicinal purposes. It repels, a lot of insects, but it is an abortificant. And will cause miscarriage in pregnant mammals, including humans, if you get a high enough exposure. So, yes, it repels insects, but it has some negative things there. So, I want to talk about that up front, because I will not be using it. First we have mice and rats. And, you know, They are huge pests. They are almost solely responsible for the spread of the Black Plague. It's peppermint. My producer, Serenity, brought up that peppermint will run away mice and rats. They don't like the smell of it. So, peppermint candles, peppermint herbs in your herb garden. The oil. Pure peppermint oil probably works the best. Thank you. Yeah, they're solely, not solely, but mice and rats carrying the Black Plague was one of the big factors in it spreading. So not good things to have around. They do carry a lot of diseases. They do destroy your food stores, which was when I received the email from the listener with this question, how to deal with pests. They were worried about them getting into their food stores and eating them. So they're storing a lot of their stuff in like glass containers, as opposed to like, if you store your rice in a 5-gallon bucket, there is a good chance that a rat or a mouse could eat through the bucket and eat all your rice. It could happen. I don't know if it's something that you really want to worry about a whole lot, but it could happen. So you definitely want to deal with the mice and the rats. Peppermint oil is one thing we've talked about that could keep them away. Just old fashioned rat and mouse traps. Have those in your preps. Use them. There's a reason that we had them around and they worked really well. And I would much rather use one of those, the old like wooden or plastic mouse traps that's mechanical, that's reusable, and that doesn't, it leaves the mouse in a sort of a whole form. You know, like shoot at the fan, you might be eating mouse burgers. Just gonna say. And using like a rat killer, I'm not eating a rat burger that was killed with rat killer. You know, in the past I've also used those glue traps and they work, but I just don't like them. Like if you're trying to use the mouse for something, ripping them off of that plastic thing is not an attractive. More than likely, you're going to spoil your meat by ripping their guts out. It's not a clean kill. They usually are still alive on there. So yeah, I'm not a fan of those. I'm not a fan of the poisons. You know, cats. I have a cat. He's pretty scrappy, but he's also pretty timid. So I think he would at least run a mouse off. Maybe kill it. He hates some of the cats outside. So cats are weird, but they're definitely a good line of defense against mice and rats. Next up is, so there's a guy I used to watch on YouTube, Sean Woods. He had a primitive channel and I started watching him when he was recreating weapons from, the caveman, Otzi the caveman. They found him. He started recreating his knife, which was made of, like obsidian or something, his bow and arrow. These are things that they found on him. He recreated from Outer Edge, testing them out. So he's sort of like making historical caveman type weapons. I thought it was pretty neat. And then he turned to only doing like these weird mouse trap videos. And after a while I just unsubscribed to him. But, you know, if you don't have the resources, like a shit hit the fan, you didn't stock up on enough mouse traps or they got destroyed or something. Most all of these mouse traps he tests, not all of them, he does buy some off of eBay, some old classic ones. A lot of these are just like things that he makes, like a bucket with sticks leading into like a sugar water solution. They climb up this little wooden plank and fall in there and then drown. Like he caught like 16 mice in a night in a barn one time with this. He calls it, I don't have a link to it, so you can go watch it. It's his Mousetrap Monday. So he has some good older videos, but then, you know, just these mousetrap videos, maybe you're into that. I wasn't. Not my thing. So getting into the, insects, we're going to start out with Diatomaceous earth. For all insects that I've found, Diatomaceous earth works for them all. For humans, it's pretty inert, non-toxic. A lot of people will get food grade Diamantaceous Earth and take a spoonful of it in a glass of water every day for like gut health, because it'll kill non-beneficial bugs in your stomach and has some other. It's one of those weird things where like it might do something, but then there's hippies that just claim it to be like a panacea. Is panacea the right word? Panacea. I think we came across that it's a cure-all, basically. They're like, yeah, I'm 60 years old and my hair turned back strawberry blonde because I started taking Diamantaceous Earth. All of these, like, things are being attributed to it. But for sure, to humans, this stuff feels like talcum powder. To insects, it's like glass. It gets into their exoskeleton and rips them to shreds. So, for insects, this stuff is a universal killer that's completely safe to humans. With that said, though, it is an indiscriminate killer. There are beneficial insects that you may not want to kill. You know, ladybugs kill a lot of insects, aphids and whatnot, that will tear up your gardens. Diamantaceous Earth will murder them, too. You know, spiders that are safe, that eat other insects that could be a problem, it will kill them. Just right across the board, it's like a nuclear bomb to insects. It'll kill them all. I know before when I was looking for safer, more effective flea treatments for Jorn, the cat, Diamantaceous Earth, like just giving them like a bath in just the Diamantaceous Earth powder. It'll stick to their skin. If they get fleas on them, it'll rip them to shreds. And I've noticed before in the past that when I give Jorn the topical flea treatment, yes, it works. But he seems a little sick afterwards. Like, I don't know, like a day or so, like he just doesn't seem right. And I've read some other things like people's cats getting really sick after giving them internal or topical flea medicines. And me being the weirdo I am, I wanted a better solution. So I've not tried it yet, but I think I will. Diamantaceous Earth. Boric acid is another one that comes up a lot. It has very similar properties to Diamantaceous Earth in that it is completely fine for humans, but will kill pretty much every insect I found. Like every article I found for ways for dealing with this insect or that insect, boric acid is right there. So, it's cheap, readily available in like it's on the chemical aisle of any store, usually around the washing soda. Cause boric acid is one of the main ingredients, one of the three ingredients in making homemade soap. Homemade laundry soap, that is. You get boric acid, washing soda, and Fels naphtha soap, or like a Dove soap. You can use Dove bar soap as well. If you want something softer and maybe smell bettier, that smells better. But yeah, boric acid will be right there, usually on the bottom shelf. So 20 mule team borax acid. Boric acid, not borax. And that's good for cockroaches, good for ants, good for fleas. I know my wife's mom said to sprinkle it in your carpet. It's good for fleas. We've got a small rug, but maybe we'll sprinkle some in that too. I did that before when I was battling the bed bugs. I used a lot of boric acid, both in the carpet. I just put it down and let it sit there, to be honest. I didn't even vacuum it up, just because I was trying to murder them so bad. And then I made a cleaning solution with boric acid and washed every surface in that room. And I guess I'm skipping ahead a little because I want to talk quite about bed bugs when I get to it. So the first insect that we will talk about is, I'd say, the most hated. nobody loves the cockroach. It's the bane of many people's existence. I've known several people that have had to deal with cockroach infestations, and it's always a pain in the ass. And a lot of times it's just a long struggle. And, you know, these aren't dirty, nasty people usually. They're clean people. They get an infestation and it sort of hits a critical point where it's hard to deal with. You take that, you extrapolate that out to a shit hit the fan situation, and it's a lot harder. So the rule for any insect is they need three things to survive, a lot like humans. They've got to have food, shelter, and water. If you cut those off, then you can essentially get rid of them. If you are meticulous in your cleaning and leave out nothing for them to live on, they'll either leave or die. You know, it's no dishes can be dirty. Any container that held food in it has to be thoroughly cleaned or burned. There can be no residues, no scraps, no crumbs. That's number one. You know, you can't have trash or hiding places for them. You have to eliminate standing water. If you have drips and stuff, you have to get rid of those. You've got to become a cleaning psychopath, basically. During the shit hit the fan, I'm sure you will not have a lot of food just laying around anyway. So that makes that a bit easier. Weird sort of backstory. And I've not looked this up, but Mike was telling me one time that prehistorically, our ancestors, our caveman forefathers, actually encouraged roaches into their caves to clean up, like to eat their waste and stuff, which is weird. And I've not fact checked that, but you know, it's like we helped to create this problem that we have today. You know, that our ancestors invited them in, and now we're like, no, get the fuck out. So, you know, things to do with, cockroaches. Once again, diatomaceous earth works for everything. You know, you put this around your walls, your borders, places where you would put bug traps. It's not, you know, like those stupid roach motels. They'll go into, they'll get the poison, they'll take it back and kill them. I've never seen those, and it's not on the list because I've never seen them really do much of anything. Like, you see that, you see some dead mice, not dead mice, you see some dead cockroaches around it and in it. But that whole, like, they'll take it and they'll go back and they'll spread it and wipe out the nests and the infestations. Never seen that happen. No matter how many you got, I just see some dead ones sitting around it, and my, you know, the cockroaches are still a problem. Boric acid, once again, toxic, it'll kill them. You know, moving more modern day foggers, I have seen in circumstances foggers work. You have to use a lot of them, and you have to use them, I'd say, multiple times. Like, I know when I was really young, we had some cockroach problem, and my family set off a ton of foggers, you know, and we had to leave the house for a day, come back, spend the whole day cleaning, and then you've got to do it again fairly soon. You know, I'd say if you do it one weekend, you have to do it again the next weekend. You know, 'cause you've got eggs. The foggers may or may not kill the eggs. In the bed bug case, the foggers do kill the eggs. But I still wouldn't trust that. I would give the eggs a chance to hatch and then murder them all again. Usually when they're still young enough to have probably not laid eggs. But to be honest, the most successful solution I've ever seen for cockroaches is you have to have a professional. You've got to have a pro come in and deal with it, and you have to clean like a motherfucker. Doing it at home is really hard, and I don't see it succeed a huge amount. It has been done. People have done it. But, you know, it's one of those things that I think it would behoove you to take care of pre should hit the fan and then try to maintain afterwards, to just not get them back. And a lot of the cases where I've seen professionals come in, you never really have that problem again. Like, once they're nuked and gone, they don't tend to come back, generally. So, and, you know, cockroaches are on everything. So, you know, you're bringing in boxes. They could have cockroaches in there. You get a couple in, they make 28 billion babies, and then you're fucked. So, you know, during the shit of the fan, you don't really have a lot of stuff coming in or going out. So, you know, lack of visitors, that helps out with the spreading of stuff. Generally, a lot of these things aren't climbing in from the outside. They're being transported in, through you going to places and bringing them back, or things coming in. You know, you go to Aldi's, you get a cardboard box, you bring it back, they've got cockroaches in it, so forth. I'm not saying anything against Aldi's. I'm just saying, they like cardboard. Next up is bed bugs. And we've talked around it a bit already. I have experience with it. So I lived in an apartment. It was a fairly shitty apartment, but, you know, the rent was good. The location wasn't bad. You know, not bad. But like I said, my bedroom wall, the other side of it was the apartment complex, or the, at least that building of the apartment complex's laundry room. And you know, there was some nasty motherfuckers in there, and creeping through the cracks in my wall, I found bed bugs coming out. Like, and it took me a while to really figure out what was going on. Like, I was sort of waking up itchy, had a little, you know, I could see bed bugs bites. I started looking at it and I found out that it was bed bugs. And then they start out really tiny. They're so tiny at first. You can barely see them. And then, you know, as they feast upon you, they get fairly big, and they've got a very distinct odor that, if you have them and you've ever had them before, you'll know that smell. It's fucking bed bugs. Stupid little shaped bastards. So, you know, my room was fairly clean. The other side was disgusting. There's always shit, not shit literally, but, you know, people coming in and out with their clothes. So they came through, and it was a long, hard, you know what? Maybe I should have, like, I've always had the mentality of taking care of things myself. So I didn't go to the apartment complex and was like, hey, I got bed bugs. So it was a long, hard fight for me to get rid of them that, you know, I ended up closing off my room for the winter and just not going in there. And the cold doesn't kill them. Not cold that we'll have here in Tennessee anyway. They do not like the heat though. So the heat will kill them. It's gotta be a fairly hot temperature for a fairly prolonged time, a couple of days, but the heat will kill them. You know, so after the winter was over, I was like, oh, maybe they're gone. So I went back in my room and slept a couple times, and they ended up coming back, maybe with a vengeance, making the room unusable, which is when I had to really just crack down and get rid of them. My bed and all my bedding went away. Boric acid in the carpet everywhere. Everything in the room that wasn't being thrown away had to be washed at the same time. So I had to bag up every single thing in the room and go wash it. Leave it in bags and not bring it back into the room. The walls had to get washed with a strong boric acid solution. I had to use a fogger, I think twice, and then a spray topical bed bug solution at the gaps in the walls that led to the laundry room. And then after all of that, and then I think I possibly even washed the clothes a second time. So I washed everything and then I washed it all again. Finally, I got rid of them. And it was a huge pain in the ass. Without the foggers. And you gotta think, this was a fairly small apartment bedroom. I used like two foggers in it. It was concentrated as fuck. And then cleaned it up afterwards. One of the other things that will help out besides heat, like if, you can tent off your room and raise the heat temperature enough to kill them for several days. Not being able to do as much laundry in a shit at the fan situation. If you bag up everything in black bags and put them in the sun for 5 days, that will kill them. One, because of the heat. Two, because you're starving them. They don't have you to feed on. They die. Throw your bedding out in the sunlight, let it sit there. And then you might have to do it for a few days. Things you can do to increase the temperature, like, put one of those like plastic, tents on them, like a tube tent made of clear plastic. That would help out. You know, back in the day, and I saw this in like the BBC documentary, cleaning all of your bed frame and stuff with kerosene, that'll kill them. It'll help kill them. If you have a bed with legs on it, putting the legs in kerosene, putting the legs in kerosene so that they, if they climb up trying to get to the bed, they have to go through kerosene, they die. That also works. So having some kerosene in your preps for both warmth and for killing of bed bugs would be good. Also, storing up on the foggers and the sprays is a good idea. I saw some things on using double-sided tape up in places so that they walk to it, they stick, they die. Didn't have a whole lot of luck with that. Your mileage may vary. So next up is mosquitoes. And this is going to be a big problem in shit the fan when you don't have city municipalities spraying for mosquitoes, killing them. So, you'll be responsible for doing it for yourself. There are, once again, both sort of herbal and non-herbal, traditional and modern, ways of dealing with them. There are a couple herbs and plants that mosquitoes don't like that, you can grow. They have benefits for both humans. They have benefits for us that we can use, and it deters mosquitoes. So sage, lemon balm, citronella, peppermint, and catnip. Mosquitoes don't like any of those. I don't see a reason not to grow them anyway. You could eat sage, lemon balm, peppermint, catnip, for cats, and can be made into a tea that has some lucid dreaming properties. Citronella smells good. Having some citronella candles probably would behoove you. Like I said before, nothing beats DEET for mosquitoes. The stronger DEET, the better, for yourself. Maybe even a yard spray. Dealing with habitat is real big too. So, standing water is where mosquitoes breed at. And you want to have a battle on standing water. I've heard people say you put like, a cooking oil, like a vegetable oil in the water. It'll kill them. One guy was saying dishwashing solution, that'll kill them. Not having standing water. Just go around, make sure you dump it out every time you see it. If you have things that are collecting water, like kiddie pools, when they're not being used, dump them out, flip them over so they can't collect any more water. Anything like if you have a tarp that's collecting water, figure out a way to get it tighter so it's dumping the water off. No standing water. You know, pools that aren't being used, cups, planters, containers, anything in the yard that's collecting water, try to get rid of that. And I know years ago, when I listened to the Survival Podcast, Jack Spirico was saying, just throw some goldfish in any, like, if you have standing water that I guess you can't dump out, or, you know, just screw it, just throw a handful of like goldfish in it. They'll eat the mosquitoes and grow. And then instead of having a mosquito problem, you've got a goldfish problem, which is a dinner problem. So, maybe that's the path you want to go. Like maybe if you have a creek or something, not a creek, running water, but like a, you know, like a semi-permanent puddle or pond or something, throw some fish in it. The fish will eat the mosquitoes and mosquito larva, and then you can just eat the fish. So I'd much rather have a fish problem than a mosquito problem any day. There are, you know, nets and stuff, like hats with nets and some other stuff like that. I'd want to just try to keep them away as much as possible. There are too many diseases that come from mosquitoes, you know, Zika, West Nile virus, malaria. I don't know if malaria has really traveled to the U.S., but I also don't want it to. You know, during shit hit the fan, there's no telling what could spread. So, it's one of those things you really have to be, you know, like, some people in the prepper community, like, really sort of fantasize about how great things will be in the shit hit the fan when you don't have to go to work and listen to your dick boss, but you could be dying of malaria. So, don't over fantasize it too much, guys. It will not be easy. And if you really, really want that kind of life, just go move to the Ozark Mountains and just live like a hillbilly. Just do it now. Stop waiting for an excuse. Where are we at here? 38 minutes. Wasps. So, wasps don't really spread disease. But I hate wasps more than anything else on this list, I think. Ticks will be later on, and I don't really care for a tick a whole lot. And I don't really love fleas. And ants are causing me some trouble, and I really hate bed bugs, but I fucking hate wasps. Especially the red wasps. You know, the yellow jackets don't really, I've never had a big problem with them. They're not super overly aggressive. If you really, really fuck with them, then they'll sting you. You know, and all the other bees, you notice I don't even have bee control on here. I don't know if I've ever been stung by a bumblebee, and if I did, it's because I was fucking with them. They'll buzz around. Mostly they're just eating, and trying to pollinate flowers that we need. You know, sugar bees, all of those bees, whatever, just leave them alone. But the red wasps, you need to go to war on them. And my philosophy on wasps, especially the red wasps, is the same philosophy from the Cobra Kai school. Strike first, strike hard, no mercy. There's no tolerance for them. The only thing they have in life is to eat, breed, and fucking sting you. That's the only thing that brings them joy in life. They're just the dicks of the insect world. You know, wasp spray. Stock up on wasp spray. It's fairly cheap, uses for a lot of things. And if you, they'll make their habitat anywhere. I had wasp, last summer, two summers ago, put a nest right in the doorway of my house. You know, and I walked out my door one day and it stung me on the back of the neck. Yeah. I was pretty pissed about it. He died and then, his nest died. If you see a wasp nest, destroy it. It's got wasps in it and baby wasps, and they all want to sting you. No mercy. So destroy them all. What does work really well, though, if you get stung by a wasp, crush up some plantain on it, not the banana. put the plantain on it, and it'll go away pretty quickly. Then when I got stung on the neck, I put plantain on it immediately after killing, you know, his whole family. And, you know, there was a couple hours, there was no evidence that I had been stung. Not allergic, so there's that. If you are allergic, then even more no mercy. You know, it's, that could be deadly to you. So, you know, just, I don't know of any way to prevent them, but if you see them, you destroy them. Right then, don't let them start having babies. You see them, you kill them. If you see one, see if you see their nest around and go destroy that. And if you see another one, destroy that. There's, you know, like bees have a nice, like part of the ecosystem. Wasps are just dicks. So, no love for the wasp. You know, I think I'm going to tackle one more. And then I'm going to wrap this up. And that's ticks. There's a lot of bullshit tick sprays on the market that keep them off of you. I've tried several of them. There are also a lot of, like, hippie voodoo hoodoo things like eat garlic, take vitamin B12 and they won't get on you. Like all this bullshit. I think DEET works fairly well. I've had a lot of luck with permethrin clothing. I spent, you know, on some of the long camping trips I did where I was out in the woods for a week, I sprayed down my clothes thoroughly with permethrin. On it, not yourself. Don't spray permethrin on your body. Spray your clothes. And, especially concentrate on the shoes, boots, you know, legs. And then, you know, like shoulders, arms. Spray your clothing down really well. You won't have a tick problem. I think the whole time I was camping at, what was that primitive skills gathering? Rendezvous something? Rivers, whatever it was called. I didn't have a single tick the whole time and I was in a hammock in the woods the whole time. Tweezers. So I'm a big fan of tweezers, especially tick tweezers that will sort of go over the body and then pinch the head area and pull that out. You want to try to focus on the head, pull the head out. Don't twist. Don't do any shit like that. Try to pull it straight out. Not squeezing its fat, bloated belly and get it out. And so I went to the CDC to confirm that I was right and I'm right. Glared at my wife. So you can leave if the tick head breaks off in you, you can try to go in with the tick tweezers and get it out. If you don't, that's okay. It's not going to do much of anything inside you, and don't go insane trying to get it out where you could cause, you know, tissue damage over that. The body will push it out or dissolve it. Not a big deal. The big deal, though, is in any of these urban folklore remedies. Like, take dishwashing soda and dishwashing liquid, soak a cotton ball, and put it over it. You know, wipe Vaseline over it. Any of these things to try to get it to back out and leave. Like, when I was growing up, the remedy was to take a match, light it, let it go out, and then touch the match head to the tick so that it would back out on its own, and then you'd kill it. All of these things run the risk of having the tick basically puke inside you. And that's what you don't want. That's why you don't squeeze his belly when you're pulling it out. The CDC and me, CDC and me, that's a movie, want you to remove it as quickly as possible without having it take its disgusting stomach juice and put it inside you. That's where you get Lyme disease and all the other illnesses from. Your body can deal with the head on its own. If you can or can't get it out, it's the regurgitation that's the issue here. So there are, and every year on Facebook, you'll see lots of people spread around like, well, just do this and the ticks will get out on their own. No, don't do that. You get a pair of tweezers and you rip it out. That's what you do every time. And it's not really a big deal. As long as you rip it out and don't squeeze it out. Got it? Good. Another thing is a sort of deal with habitat. They like wooded, grassy areas. So trying to maintain your wooded, grassy areas, keep them back away from where you play. I may put down a perimeter of tick spray this year and try to help control the habitat around our house a little bit, to try to keep them out. But I'm not sure if, I don't know if the tick spray is pet friendly. So you got to find one that is tick friendly. I mean, once again, you can just go lay down a dusting of diatomaceous earth in the yard and that'll help control it for a little bit. Of course, you know, diatomaceous earth works because it's a powder. If it gets wet, it starts to lose effectiveness. But that would definitely be pet safe, whereas the yard sprays may or may not be pet safe. Your mileage may vary. Please investigate on your own. But yeah, definitely try to control the habitat. So the best thing would be to keep them away, and not have to get them on you. And then some of those sprays that we talked about, the permethrin for sure is the way to go. And then, if you double down with a permethrin spray and a DEET spray on yourself, then not only will you keep the ticks off you, but you'll keep a lot of the other things on you, off of you, that you don't want on you. I think in that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this week's episode. Next week, we will talk about fleas, ants, and what I'm going to try in the meantime is try some of these ant home remedies, because we've got those, it's not fire ants or anything bad, but those big fat black ants are getting in the house somehow. And, it doesn't bother me, but it tends to get in the food sometimes, which I would just eat the ants, but my wife and Skylar won't. So I'm going to try some of these things so I can report back to you on the validity of them. We also talk about lice, and I want to do a lot more research on lice, to talk about that. And we will talk about keeping these pests off of your pets and the shit hit the fan. And we will talk about how some of these pests can be beneficial, i.e. food. You know, ants are a food, in many parts of the world, and rats and mice and deer and squirrel can all be food. So we'll talk about that next week. Don't forget to comment on the show. Call in with your questions, comments. Email me, James@surrealpunk.com. some of you may have had some issues with spam emails being sent out saying that there was comments on spam comments on posts you've commented on before in the past. Finally, I figured that out and I fixed it. I think as of right now, comments may need to be approved by me before being published. I'll get to those fairly quickly and approve them. The real problem was there was a test website set up, testing.sorrelpunk.com, that was an old clone of the website, from like a year or two ago, where if I had to make changes to the website and see how it works before I break the website, I do it there. So if I break that, I can just go back and fix it. Doesn't really matter a whole lot. So I'm not putting the website down. Well, the problem was spammers were getting to that somehow, even though it's unpublished and unlisted. They're getting to it and blowing it up with, I think, 300,000 spam comments, I think is what I, eventually what I did was just delete every single comment off of that entire, website, because it's a testing fake website anyway. I don't give a shit. So yeah, no more spam emails. Don't worry about that. You guys are good. So yeah, leave your comments on any solutions you have for dealing with pests in the show notes on this. You can email me. You can call me. And for fun, so me and Serenity are still coming up with baby names. If you've got some good suggestions, go ahead and let us know. We like interesting names. We don't want no James, Michael, David, or Christopher's. No Tiffany, Amber, Stephanie, no Crystal Lynn's, no Bobby Joe's, Irish, Greek, Roman. So we're going to start looking at some Scandinavian Viking names. Some of those names might be interesting. Bjorn is off the table. I don't want to yell Bjorn and the cat and the baby come looking. What is it, Dad? You know, maybe some good names like that. I'm still kicking around the tradition of continuing the line of James's. Hey, I said Bjorn, he came over to me. So I may go with a James and a middle name that's interesting. So I think I'm the fifth or sixth James in the line of James's. But I'm not like a third or a fourth or a fifth, because we all have different middle names. If you only know me from Facebook, then you may think my name is James Sickone Burnett. It is actually James Radford Burnett. My dad was James Howell Burnett. My granddad was James Gordon, like Commissioner Gordon, James Gordon. And then I forget. So my great-grandfather was not a James. He was a weird name, a weird past name that we don't have, like Otts or something. Otto, not Otto. It wasn't German. It was, never mind. I think it was Carl. Yeah, my great-grandfather was Carl, but his middle name was an O, like Carl or something. Or Carl Orlo. Anyway, and then great-great-grandfather was James. So long line of Jameses. That's about when the history starts to break down, because my family just willy-nilly changed their last name. I'm a Burnett, B-U-R-N-E-T-T-E. Great-grandfather added the E to the name. Before that, we were Burnetts with no E's. Apparently, I'm related to some Barnetts. So doing the history research, I got to find out where it changes from Barnett to Burnett to Burnett. It's fucking crazy. But anyway, interesting names, send them, email them, comment them, whatever. And with that, this is James Radford Sickone Burnett saying DIY to fucking kill wasps, you guys.